It's the last Sunday in June. That means almost 6 months gone. And one thing we are sure of is that God is faithful. Can we just tell him thank you again? In your own words, in your own way. Just tell him thank you. I'm not sure I deserve this. But you have helped me. Thank you. If you mark iniquity, I'll be nowhere to be found. But you have shown me mercy. I thank you. I look at my life and I discover it's not my intelligence. But you have graciously helped me. I say thank you. I have seen many falling, but still you kept me. I say thank you. Men I admire and will want to be like fell by the wayside. But here am I still standing. I say thank you. Can we thank him from the bottom of our heart? Just talk to him. Just talk to him. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For everything you are.
Can you continue to thank him? January, February, March, April, May, June. Thank you.
Lord,
Shanto to me, Lord, your Jumon. From the bottom of our hearts, we say thank you, Jesus. The world might think we don't deserve it, but you still showed us your love and your mercy. We start reading for some verse 16. There is an expectation that the Lord has of us. If you go through the Bible, there are many expectations that the Lord has of us as believers. And for those expectations, he makes his grace available for him. There is no pitiable sight than a Christian that wants to live the Christian life by his own power. Is pitiable. When you see a Christian that wants to please God by his own power, do things by his own power, it's a pity. You see them struggle. The load is on their shoulder. They look older than their age. They are always castigating everybody because they think they can live the Christian life by their own power. But that's not what I want to teach about today. I'm telling you that God has expectation of our lives, and for every expectation he has for our life, he makes grace and empowerment available to fulfill those expectations. In fact, one of the reasons why at the end of the age, on the day of judgment, we will not have an excuse is that for everything we need to live for God, 2 Peter 1, 2, and 3, and 4, 2 Peter chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4, everything we need for life and godliness, God graciously has made it available to us. And what we want to talk about today, which God expects us to do, he has made all grace available for us to do it. And I'm able to tell you, it's one of the easiest things that God expects from us as believers. Luke 16, Luke 14, from verse 16 to 24. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field, and I must go out to see it. Please have me excuse. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine it. Please have me excuse. And another said, I have married a wife. Wow. And therefore, I cannot come. So the servant came and reported this thing to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the servant said, sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is no room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of these people, none of these those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Can we look at verse 23? And the whole church reading together. 1, 2, go. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highway and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house, maybe with the glory of the latter house, according to the word of God, shall be greater than the former. God wants his house, the church of God, to be glorious. And one of the ways he wants his church to be glorious is that his church might be filled. He's not pride, he's not proud, he's not happy when the house of the enemy is filled and his house is not filled. God is not happy when men going to hell are more than men going to heaven. God is not happy when the kingdom of darkness is increasing in leaps and bounds and the kingdom of God is at a standstill. And because of that, he gave us an assignment and a command. But let's take it one step after the other. In trying to explain his expectation and his mission for his house to be filled, he gave them a parable about a banquet, which we just read. Let's look at 4 different things or 5 things. Number one, let's look at a banquet. A banquet is like a party that is held in the evening. Almost every banquet is held in the evening. So we can say a banquet is a dinner. A dinner with sumptuous meal, good music. A dinner where you go to relax. A dinner where great things happen. Every service that God has in his house is a banquet. So when we come to church, we have come to like a spiritual party where God has spiritual meal for us. And I make bold to tell you, it is buffet. You pick which one you want. You come to church, somebody, what you will see is that, did you see pastor's hair today? I beg, which hair I get for head? It's a banquet. It's a buffet. It's pastor hair that some people will see. Some will see, I don't know what they see. Some will hear different things. When you come to church, it's a banquet. It's a buffet. You choose what you want. But a banquet is prepared. And the church is a banquet of healing. banquet of deliverance, of salvation, of prosperity, of solution, of spiritual things for you. So he prepared the banquet, and the people he invited did not come. Have you had a birthday party before and you fix the time at 4, 2? You are going around preparing 2:30, 3:30, 4:30, 5:30. You are there only with the people that cook for you, waiting for the people to come. You start making call and the phones are switched off. Is anybody that have had that experience before? Maybe you have not had that one before. Have you gone for a family party where there are different people, different canopies? And in every other person's canopy, it is filled up with people. The food is not even enough. But in your own canopy or somebody's canopy, there is food everywhere. But there are nobody to come and eat the food. How will you feel? Church service and what God does in his kingdom is like a banquet. And Jesus does not want the food to go to waste. And so, just like we do, after you are cooked for everybody and nobody appears, then you start looking for people you did not invite and say, oh, make una come eat. At least make this food not spoil. He had that you will collect his money. Make una come eat. And Jesus was angry. The same way you be angry when you invite people for a banquet and they did not come. And he said, let's go. Go and bring all the other people in. But before we go to look at what Jesus asked them to do, can we look at those excuses that this man started giving? Number one excuse. I have just bought a land. Let me go and check the land. That looks genuine enough. But the banquet is for the evening. Banquets happen at night. Dinners are not breakfast. Who goes to check his land at night? Is there anybody in this church that you bought your land in this Abuja and you carry torch light at night and say, let me go and check my light, my land? Where are the beacons? Surveyor, meet me there at night. Let's survey the land at night. Many of the excuses we give in the kingdom of God, when heaven looks down on us, they look at us, that look at, these things look foolish and stupid. What kind of excuse is that? We are inviting you for a banquet. You say you want to go and check your land. Look at the second person. I bought 5-6 oxen for farming. Let me go and test it. Is there anybody that tests his tractor at night during dinner? As if that was not enough, there was another person that said, oh boy, I just married you. If you just get married, no be dinner, no be banquet, you're supposed to take your wife go. Why are you running from where you are supposed to go to when you are married? Most excuses we give in church makes us look very stupid. It's good we just say, I know they come. Jesus was angry and he asked them to go. Go everywhere. Look for the poor. Look for the crippled. Look for the blind. And bring them in. Can I tell you this? There is no excuse that is tenable on the last day. There is. Your excuses are tenable to the pastor. Or just say, no problem. Okay, no problem. No, okay, no problem. Okay, nobody. Anybody give me an excuse? Go and check your phone. Okay, no problem. The God will not respond to our excuses by saying, okay, no problem. At least we should even appreciate those who gave excuses. Some will not even talk to you. If you are not going to make the church in conference, make sure you call pastor. No calling pastor. They will even see pastor the following day. They will not greet him. Pass about. Do their eyes like. So wait till you go do. When you are a pastor, you see a lot of things. Various excuses. But because you are a child of God, and my father-in-law will say, a man of God does not strive. You just look at it and you laugh. No problem. Move on. Listen to me. Even though Jesus might be saying, no problem, move on today. We are sure of what he's going to say on the last day for men that give excuses. It's straightforward. Go out from my presence. I know you know. But I'm not really interested in that angle of it. I'm interested in the fact that if God has asked us to go everywhere and invite, He has given us the ability and the capability to invite. So God is saying, go to the lanes, go to the edges, and compel them to come in. Can we read verse 23 again as a church? Verse 23. What does it mean to compel? One, two, go, let's go. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highway and hedges and compel people to come in at my house. Maybe see, what does it mean to compel? To compel means to force, to drive, to urgently invite, by force, by threat, to constrain. Compel is a strong word. But the Lord is not saying, you go and meet people. Oh, yeah. God said, make you come to church. You go, go, I be, no, go, go. Well, yeah, follow me. That's not what He's saying. He's saying, by every force of love, by every power of love within you, bring them to church. Sir, ma, have you ever had a university student that needs money calling you before? Anybody experienced that before? Okay. Maybe not go far. You remember the way where you show people during your time also? Where you were asking for money, uncle, we want to buy Joe and Gra and whatever they joke. But you know when a student needs money, you see the force. Most of them, sometimes I think they work with people in our office, they know when we are paid salary. They call us, in this time they call it urgent 2K. If you see a man that needs urgent 2K, he will do everything within his power to get that urgent. What Jesus is saying, go and learn from urgent 2K people about how to compel people to get what you want. And what he's saying is this, compel people to come into the kingdom that my house may be filled. Can we move forward a little? See, throughout the Bible, God was making invitations for people. And God is saying, join me in giving invitations to people to come to the kingdom. Isaiah 1, 18, to I think 20. Come, let us reason together. If there is an invitation by God for you to come, let's study together. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Jesus in Matthew gave an invitation. God in the book of Isaiah gave an invitation. Revelation 22:17. The Holy Spirit. He said, the Spirit of the Lord says, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. God gave an invitation. Jesus gave an invitation. The Holy Spirit gave an invitation. John 1:40-42. Andrew met Jesus and he called Peter to come. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Continues up. He first found his own brother and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means Jesus Christ, which means Christ. Continues up. Just continue with me. Go on. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also in the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Verse 46. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Jose, out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, do what? Come and see. All over the Bible are various
invitation. Can we check John chapter 4? John chapter 4, verse 20, 43 to 46. John 4, 42. John 4, 28 to 30. John 4, 28 to 30. So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. One woman brought the whole town to Jesus by invitation. Listen, you matter in the equation of filling the house of God, of filling the kingdom of God. And what God wants you to do is for you to keep inviting people to come to his kingdom. Let no excuse stop you. Let no excuse discourage you. Learn from this parable. If the people you invite say they are not coming, turn to other people and invite them. That is how the kingdom is sealed up. Most of the time we waste our time on unripe fruits. The Lord wants us to go for low-hanging ripe fruit when he asks us to invite people to his kingdom. You know what? Whatever you believe in, you invite people to it. Whatever you are passionate about, you invite people to it. Whatever you care about, you invite people to it. Whatever you enjoy, you invite people to it. Whatever has impacted you, you invite people to it. Whatever has made a difference in your life, you invite people to it. Check it. In those days when I used to be very crazy about football, my house is always filled because we want to watch football. I was in the bank working. I was working in IT, but I have customers that come to the bank not to collect money, but to come and see me to discuss football. See, now, if I go for evangelism on Saturdays, I look for people with jersey. Once you have a jersey, it's easy for me to talk to you. Upman you. Why talk about they do the thing where they do now? The reason why I like Man U is Man U not be like Arsenal. Arsenal fans, I'm sorry. You know the reason why I like Chelsea, be say they might not play well, but they go score the goal. What is the reason for a football match? The goal of a football match is to score a goal. Arsenal just they dribble, they no one score. My brother, I hope say you no be like Arsenal. In life, the goal is to make heaven. Whatever you dribble on earth without scoring the goal of heaven, you have missed it. I love people with jersey because I can talk football. Are you here? Whatever you are passionate about, you speak about. I love you, Lord. Nah, lie. You can't love the Lord and not talk about him. My helper, oh my helper, there is something that makes me. Now, because most of you have nothing to do at home, that's not why you come. If you came for love, you can't come empty. Whatever we love, we talk about. Why is it so easy to talk about football, talk about movies, talk about music, and it's difficult to talk about Christ? Have you ever seen a football lover? Yesterday, there was a match between Austria and Italy. If you watch it, very powerful match. It went to extra time. Did you see anybody complaining that, oh, this man don't enter extra time? Oh. We have never watched football that it enter extra time with penalty that we look at the time. If you come to church and it enter injury time at church, what? You have never stopped going to stadium to watch ball because beside you in stadium are hypocrites. But people don't come to say the church is filled with hypocrites, so I will not go come. And they're not loving. Have you ever stopped going to stadium before because you say they don't love people on stadium? Your passion goes beyond whatever anybody says around you. I keep telling you, our excuses look like foolishness to heaven. Everywhere I've gone to, I've watched football. Why? I was very passionate about you. I've shared before you how I fell in love with football. I was one Saturday, 1985, I was about going to play football in my area. While I was going, my father called me and said, sit down. I sat down. I said, watch this match. So I sat down and watched the match. Champions League final, 1985. Juventus versus Liverpool. At the height of Platini, before the match started, the English fans have set the stadium ablaze. 60 people have died before the match started. Then the guy called Platini came, juggled the ball, carried. Oh my God. Since then, I fell in love with it. The God has delivered me from it. Ask my wife and my friends. Fall in love with the Lord, and everybody will know about it. We have people there, Baba Chelsea, Baba Arsenal, Baba Man U, Baba Barcelona. If their team loses match, they will not eat. They come to church. No miracle. Nobody came as a guest. They go home, they go and sleep. They don't say, I'm not eating because no guests in church today. And you say you love God? You love Him, Abby? The way we hike nowadays and the jogging, the fitness, the passion we put into it. I am not against all this. I'm not against your passion for football. I am not against your passion for anything. But I'm saying your passion for God must be above all these things, and everybody must see it. And God is saying, if you have a passion for me, you will go and invite that my house might be filled.
Did you notice one thing? Even though those that were invited had excuses,
those that were sent to invite never gave an excuse. Everybody here has been sent to them by the Lord to go and bring people in that the kingdom might be filled, that the house might be filled. They never gave an excuse. Please don't change the story. You giving excuses is like you changing the story. Pastor, what do we do? What do we do? Action points. We need to go back. Listen to me.
If I go around now and I start asking questions, how did you start coming to this church? How did you start coming to church?
I've done it many times. You discover that 80%, 85% of people come to church because they are friends, they are family members, relative, associate, neighbor, somebody they have a relationship with invited them. Sometimes you go for evangelism, people that under normal circumstances, you will not even want to talk to them. But because you have gone for evangelism, you won't talk to them. Yeah, excuse me, sir. The man looks at you. Evangelism is good. It has a way of breaking some pride in you. Person who is not supposed to talk to you. You will, under normal circumstances, if he visits you in the office, he's supposed to be.
Then you now go and say,
the Lord, say, look at you, the Lord. I don't get that. That same person, if his friends talk to him, he will come. That's why, if you check, most of you seated there, you came here. Few, because of signboard, because somebody told you. Most of you are here because your friends, your relatives, your associates, your neighbors brought you to church. And that's why God is saying, there is power in your invitation to the people that you know. Where the gospel cannot get you, you are there. You can get them in. Do you know that in those days, if they asked you to go to Maiduguri, people run away and say, there's a and different things. Now, the Lord shake the heavens. He said, once again, I will shake the heavens, I will shake the earth. Boko Haram came, and different things happened. Everybody we are running away from going to Maiduguri, they are all in Abuja now. Now, they have come to Abuja. We are not talking to them. We are not inviting them.
All the excuses do not matter again.
He wants us to invite. that is housed by the food. And that's why your church has declared July as a guest month, where with everything we have within us, by all means possible, like Malcolm X would say, we'll go out and compel people to come. So what do we do? Number one, we take our Bibles, we do a list. Friends, relatives, neighbor, associate, enemies, vendors, committee of friends, ex-friends, whatever that you would like to bring to church, list their names. Invest in them. Pray about the names. Pray about the list. Talk to them. That there is a program in church. Talk to them about Christ. Pray for them. Invest in them. And then invite them to church. Let me go through my list methodologically, the way I wrote it here. And I pray. What do we do? Make a list. Pray about the list. Pray for opportunities, for direction, for winning hearts. Pray that their hearts will be receptive. Look for opportunities to talk to them. Share your story, your testimony with them. Invite them. Remind them. Call or chat with them. Send SMS. Pick them up. Bring them to church. The month of July has been declared as a guest month. Therefore, every Saturday, we'll be leaving the church by 8 to go for evangelism. The Lord is counting on you. It is not a choice. It is an expectation of the Lord of us. Can I have the second slide? And I just close. So what do you do? Two ways, in person and online on social media invites. Your friends, your neighbor, your relatives, your workplace, your shop, your customers, people you give lift to, people that give you lift, cars you enter, different things. The opportunities are limitless. And the Lord is counting on you. At the right side, in case you want to use social media, every other social media handle apart from Twitter for now. Except we want to use VPN. I know they talk about that for now. Share a post. Share the status. Share our flyers. Share the live videos. And we have printed many invite cards and printed many flyers to help you with that. Can I close by telling you this? So in the month of July, I'll be preaching on the divine advantage. 5 messages about the divine advantages. Advantages that God gave us when we gave our life to Christ, that many of us are not taking advantage of. So we will come teach about the advantage and take advantage of the advantage. Place a demand on the advantages and see God was great and want mighty things for us. And on Wednesdays, I will come and teach on battles that people face and how to overcome those battles. 5 Wednesdays also. The Lord is counting on you to bring people to His kingdom and invite them to His house. Can we bow our heads as we pray? Let's pray together. Lord, you can count on me. You can count on me, sir. Sir, you can count on me. I receive the grace to exceed your expectations, sir. Jesus, you can count on me. Can we receive grace? Can we receive boldness? Grace to do beyond what God expects us to do. You can count on me. Sir, you can. You can count on me. Let there be a release of grace upon everyone in this house. Let there be release and empowerment to our obedience to the word of the Lord. Let the Lord enable you to do more than you can ever imagine. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.